The gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew. And that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, the person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. This morning, the sermon begins a little awkwardly for me because the gospel lesson itself already includes an interpretation of the parable of the sower purportedly from Jesus himself. So now my assignment is to add commentary to Jesus's commentary, as if his words were not enough. And what you really need is someone with a Master of Divinity degree from Duke University to tell you what he meant. Awkward indeed. Still, I did get something from Duke Divinity School that is, I think, of relevance for us as we engage this text this morning. It's the image on the front cover of our order of worship. It's a photo of a statue of the sower that stands on the grounds of East Campus at Duke. The sower walks the field, a bed of seed tied over his shoulder with some in his hand. The sower is a symbolic image of the powerful prospect of higher education and knowledge's propagation. And there's a tradition at Duke that if you leave a penny in the sower's palm, and the penny disappears by the time you return, it's a cue that you can kiss your date on Friday night. With their permission, of course. I not only got a kiss, I got a wife. And what a bargain. Because now that they are no longer minting pennies, such good fortune will cost future students at least a nickel, if not a dime. What are you placing into the sower's palm? A tiny little seed, just a germ of life, maybe a little word of life. And sown into the wilderness of the world, Jesus says, it grows up great, big, and strong, and a part of the beautiful and beloved kingdom of God. Now, it is very possible that this interpretation of the parable we find in the scripture today wasn't, in fact, Jesus's. That is why I said earlier it is purportedly from Jesus. For many biblical scholars believe the interpretation was actually added later to Jesus's original parable in order to reflect the struggles that were facing the young, fledgling church community at the time of the Bible's writing. Large crowds had at first been drawn to the early church's ministry and message, but many in the crowd received the message with a kind of open hostility. And others who at the outset were more receptive soon became distracted by the worries and the enticements of the world and the hardships and the harassment they received in trying to follow Jesus, and soon then turned away. Thus then, both the books Matthew and Mark have Jesus telling this parable to a great big crowd for then later explaining its meaning to a much smaller number of disciples. Clearly, the intent of the interpretation is to have us hearers to pause and to consider the cost of our discipleship. It is meant to ask, to have us ask ourselves just what kind of soil it is that we think we are. Good? Bad? Shallow? Hardened? When reading the parable and its interpretation, I'm always reminded of Augustine's commentary on why the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. That doesn't seem like a very well godly thing to do. But Augustine said in his commentary, it's a whole lot like the sun. It melts wax, but it hardens clay. The sun shines always the same, but its differing effects are determined by the differing properties onto which its rays fall. The same can be said of the seed as well. It is the same seed, but it falls sometimes in hard places and at hard times and on hard hearts. This for us is a reality which must be accepted. And its acceptance helps us understand why sometimes we receive such a strong and hard-hearted rejection to our own ministry and message in places like, oh, let's say, the Tarrant County Commissioner's Court, or the Fort Worth City Council, or the Fort Worth Independent School District School Board, or before the state legislature, or even inside some of our own families. This is to be expected. For three out of the four seeds scattered by the sower all failed. And we will fail too. And yet still we are called to keep casting our seed. That is a good word following our Sunday school lesson this morning. In fact, this is where I think it's helpful for us to focus not only on the soil that seems to have been the preoccupation of those who wrote the interpretation, but also on the seed itself, which seems to me to be really the ultimate emphasis of Jesus. What is in the hand of this sower who went out to sow? It is seed, and not just any seed. It is good seed. And if this seed, good as it ends, lands in just the right place and at just the right time and under just the right conditions, then it has within itself the power to produce a yield of crops, some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold. Yes, this parable told before a crowd of people by the lake can be and is about disappointment and disappearance and fickleness and faithlessness and the things in life that can choke out the word of God and the commitment to the church and the belonging to the beloved community. The story can also be about timing and about place and about dogged persistence. And it is about profligate liberality and largesse and extravagant hospitality and generosity and holy foolishness and the wonder of what can happen when one good person keeps sowing their good seed left and right and over here and over there and everywhere, in season and out in fertile Galilee and hard-hearted Jerusalem and drought-stricken Judea and even more drought-stricken Lubbock. And everywhere else. Everywhere else in all of the world. And that little germ, that little tiny germ, that little mustard seed of a germ lands just right, and it roots, and it shoots, and it blossoms, and it holds on against that hot Texas sun, and it survives its hot and cold howling winds, and it drinks from the hands of both the heavens and also the earth, and it survives. It thrives. It endures. Sometimes it barely hangs on. And finally, in the end, we are told it does. It does bear much, much fruit. And the prophet Isaiah says these words. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return empty or void. These are hard times to be planting seeds. We discussed that in Sunday school this morning. These are hard times in this world, and especially in this country, and frankly, the ground can be a little hostile to God's word right now. It's hostile to words of kindness and to compassion. The hearts of many seem to have grown cold and hard. But let me ask you this. In such a time as this, what is the preacher or the sower to do other than to keep on preaching the love of God and the love of neighbor in season and in out and onto the path and into the thorns and even out into that hard caliche? Wherever else it is that we are called to walk and to preach and to plant and to water and just give somebody, anybody, a good word, a word of hope. And one plants and another waters. The Bible tells us God causes the growth. To all of those fighting for justice out there, you keep planting your seed. You keep sowing where you are. You don't give up on hope. and to the educators who are out there, especially those who are in public schools right now, trying your best to propagate knowledge in overcrowded classrooms and underfunded schools, all while being blamed, while 3 out of your 4 seeds can't find their way into the hearts and brains of the school children because their bellies are hungry and there are sirens in their neighborhood and they're worried about ice coming for their aunt. And last night, mom didn't get off of work until midnight, so there was no one to help them remember what an integer is. Yes, some quit, and it's understandable, and they are tired of abusive conditions, and they go and they decide that they're going to sow their seed elsewhere. That is understandable. They move on from the hard soil to seek some other fertile fields elsewhere. Sometimes you just got to kick the dust off your boots. But other sowers, well, you keep sowing their seed right where they are because they either can't or don't feel called to go anywhere else. So they keep reaching into their little bag and throwing out their little seed right where life has them, even when the soil is hard and the thorns are thick. And the next thing they know, one of their former students from way out in the sticks of rural North Carolina sends them an invitation to her wedding. She's marrying some Texan whom she met just off East campus at Duke University. And all it took was one good seed from the hand of one good and faithful sower, that plus one very lucky penny. We've all been given good seed to sow. Seeds of kindness and seeds of compassion and seeds of knowledge and education, seeds of words of encouragement and affirmation, seeds of defiance and resistance. Seeds of the Word of God and the hope of Jesus Christ and the promise of the coming of the beloved community. So don't worry too much about what's in the soil. Ask yourself, what's in your hand? For the kingdom of God is in your hand, and it's good seed. Sow it, and sow it good. There's an old saying, you can count the number of seeds in the apple, but you will never be able to count the number of apples in that one little seed. Those with ears to hear, let them understand. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one true God, mother of us all. Amen.